Well, as I said last week, for 10,000 years, humanity's been dividing, we've been dividing ourselves into armed camps. Absolutely certain we are right, they are wrong, and we must vanquish them. As we do this, we tell ourselves a story about our kind. We are the chosen ones, the chosen people, the chosen race, the elect, the select, the beloved of God. And we can't all be right. We can't all be right. God surely has selected one group to be the best, and that group should win, should call the shots. Right? Not so fast, says Stephen Charleston, a retired bishop of the Episcopal Church, an elder in the Choctaw Nation, and one thoroughly provocative man. He notes that the Israelites have in their national story an assurance that they are chosen by God. But, he said, you probably don't know this, but so does the Choctaw Nation. What if, Bishop Charleston queries, every group is right? They are chosen people. Of course they are, because all are made in God's image. God is present and active not only in all people, but in all places, all creatures, all planets, indeed the whole universe, of all that is seen and unseen, we say. All people are chosen people, and God has chosen each person for some purpose. Not all groups of chosen people have exactly the same purpose. That makes sense. Just as not all individuals have the exact same purpose. But all groups of chosen people were created for one goal. And it is not to bring all the other groups in subjection under our group's feet. The one goal is to bring the reign of God near to our neighbors and near to ourselves. That's what Jesus did for that bent over woman in the synagogue. God with skin on, Jesus, the Son of God, does all the doing in this story. The Son of God calls over someone covered in the shame of illness. Shame because in those days the religious teaching was that illness was a punishment from God for some sin. That sin that you had committed, or if you were really in God's crosshairs, a sin your parents had committed. The Son of God calls this bent over, suffering woman covered in shame. He touches her. And in the ideology of that time and place, her shame then contaminated him. He was now unclean, impure, same as she was, except look, she's standing up straight. Instead of Jesus being contaminated by her shame, she was restored to the full stature of the daughter of Abraham, of the chosen people. The synagogue leader didn't understand what had happened. How could Jesus take away the damnation she most assuredly must have deserved? Well, Jesus and the synagogue leader, they get in a kerfuffle over that. But a larger point is being made. Christ is our peace. Christ is the peace of the world, of the universe. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. As creator and as Messiah, God does all the doing. God calls, God touches. God restores us by God's grace. God removes the damnation, the shame, and most of all, the division between all the different chosen peoples of the world. Why do we want to keep dividing ourselves up, insisting our group is better than all the others, and trying to conquer each and every one of them? The most charitable rationale is that we, like the synagogue leader, think it's because God told us to do that. And that's why it's so telling that Jesus says, it's necessary a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day in Genesis is the day of utter completeness, when all creation is not just good, not just very good, but perfect, the way God intended it to be. And the Sabbath day wasn't just one day in some ancient primeval time. The Sabbath day is also the goal of all creation today, tomorrow, and in that glorious eternity when God rules all in all and everything is healed and perfect again. Jesus brought that bent over woman into the fullness of God's Sabbath day right then and right there. She was chosen by God to be a sign of the destiny of all creation, standing upright in a synagogue before a rejoicing crowd. Yes, she was a sign of the reign of God breaking into Israel when it was occupied and controlled by the mighty, cruel, and violently efficient Roman Empire. Frankly, not much has changed in terms of how human empires get things done. Empires thrive on divisions, on barriers of hatred, rules, and hostility, so that those in power can have things their way. Yet God keeps choosing people, all kinds of different people, all kinds of different groups of people, to be the beloved ones who ignore the divisions that the empires try to set up, because God has already joined all of humanity into the body of Christ by the cross. The cross of Jesus is God's yes to humanity, God's embrace of the whole world as Jesus stretched out his arms on the hard wood of the cross, as one of those wonderful prayers in our prayer book puts it. God chooses all kinds of people, and all God goes so far as to say that God chooses all people to serve the goal of creation. Not everyone will know it. Not everyone will do it. Certainly not everyone will opt to live for the purpose for which God chose them. As the lives of Jeremiah and Jesus attest, being chosen to fulfill the purposes of God does not assure us an easy life. The Sabbath day of God, the Sabbath rest of rejoicing and peace and freedom, is not about resting from physical activity so much as it is resting from the forces of fear, violence, and oppression that occupy our days. It turns out that in order to achieve creation's end purpose, that Sabbath day, we will have to work pretty hard at the healing of creation, to live to end the divisions among the nations that God has already promised, but that humanity keeps trying to build up again. Guess who's going to win that one? However, this hard work is the path to the peace of Christ that we choose to walk. We choose to walk it when we are buried with Christ and raised to new life in, Rick, what's the answer? Baptism! That's right. God is the one who is making peace complete for all creation. And we have chosen in our to build our lives on the cornerstone of that peace, Christ, the Messiah of God. This seems like a good time for me to remember what this faith community has chosen to become, what our God-given purpose is. We've had this in place for a couple of years now. This is our vision statement. Why don't we read it together? We aspire to live in a world where all creation thrives in God's love. Who is left out? Who is left out of this?
Nobody.
What is left out of this?
Nothing.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I think thriving sounds like a lot of fun. And here is our mission. This is how we get these things done. We seek to become whom God created us to be by worshiping joyfully, respecting all, sharing generously, and nurturing every spirit. Worshiping joyfully. What did that crowd in the synagogue do when they saw God's work, Jesus at work? What did they do? They rejoiced. Let's try that again. What did the crowd do when they saw God at work? They
rejoiced.
Don't you think church should be like that? Don't you think church should be a place where we celebrate the awesome ways God is creating, reconciling, and sustaining all creation all the time, even in the midst of trouble and hardship? I am not for one second saying there's not trouble and hardship. I know there is. But in the midst of that, God is working, just like he worked with that woman in the synagogue. We should be a place of rejoicing. I think we are a place of rejoicing. So there. The baptismal covenant says that we are to respect the dignity of every human being. Every human being. That's a lot of people. I want you to consider my stole. I would like to offer this as a visual symbol of what I'm talking about. Now, these pins on my stole are kind of like litter. You know, once you see one piece of litter, there's more likely to be more litter in that place. Did you know that? One broken window, more broken windows. Well, someone gave me a pin. I put it on my stole, and that was 15, 20 years ago, and look what happened. But all these pins represent a person. And there's some wonderful stories behind these pins. But I can tell you right now that the guy who gave me this army pin is not going to agree with the guy that gave me the gay pride pin. I'm not saying army people, I'm just saying those two. I know them. They would not agree with it. But I've got them right next to each other on my stole. And this is the yoke of Christ I wear. This is a symbol of my dedication to serving Christ. And I think in our baptisms, we all have one of these virtual stoles. And what if our stoles are covered with the pins of the people that we encounter in our lives, that we choose to respect and give dignity to? How's that for a symbol, a thought for how you were to go through your life? We're to become who God created us to be by sharing generously. If you need to know how we do that here, just look in our newsletter for all the opportunities. And this isn't just about money. The people in this parish give thousands of hours a year to share God's abundance. How do we know that? Joe, how do we know that? And how do they get on the finance report?
We count
them. This is God's sharing abundance at work, time and talent and treasure. Our folks also share their time with groups that aren't connected with the Church of the Good Shepherd. But if it's sharing God's love and abundance, well, it counts, even if we don't put it on our financial report. Nurturing every spirit, from systematic theology to centering prayer to grief support to Bible studies to all kinds of ways we gather, we have so many ways to nurture spirits. And if you haven't found that way, we love to say yes at Good Shepherd. So if you have a way that you want to help nurture spirits, Sunday school is another one. Guess what you can do? Let's talk. Let's get something started. Our vision, say it with me, to live in a world where all creation thrives in God's love. Our mission, to become who God created us to be by worshiping joyfully, respecting all, sharing generously, and nurturing every spirit. This is how we are growing into a temple dedicated to the Lord, where Christ is building us into a place where God lives through the Spirit. You are chosen people. Rejoice.